All right, here we go. I don't hear anything.
We're on the air. Hi.
Are we on the air?
I heard us on the radio. I just turned the radio down, but I could hear us.
We shouldn't be.
Well, we are. See? Yeah, we really are on the air.
Oh, all right. Well, let's start the introduction, okay. Shall we?
Hi.
Well, I'm going to wait until we can we like all.
It's not playing.
It's not playing.
It's not on the air. It's probably not.
No. Oh, that's odd. All right. So let's pretend this didn't happen.
Okay.
And we'll start with our Father's Day special. I'm so glad you can make it today.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you too.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's winding down. All right. Well, I think we'll just jump in.
Yeah, let's do
it. All right, let's do it.
Take your Wellingtons off, children, and Mammy will tell you a pleasant story.
Well, good evening. This is Kevin Factor, and I'm joined today by my old partner in crime, Eric Fixler.
Are we partners?
I mean, in a sense. We're not romantic partners.
Truly.
Though we are often mistaken for such,
sometimes.
You know, especially in the sauna.
Yeah.
But
we're both fathers.
We are both fathers and sons.
Yeah.
You know,
and sons.
I think being a son continues after the... does it?
I don't know that I feel that way. I think that's a really interesting... I think I have to wrap my head around that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Does being a son continue after you're an orphan?
But we're not orphans, right? I mean, none of our parents are alive. Neither of us are orphans.
I mean, I know we're not like little orphan Annie, but...
I mean, sometimes I act like it, but...
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you have memories, you know, I think so long as you remember, you know, like that old saying is, you know, people die several times, right? They die physically once, and then they die again when the last person who remembers them passes away.
Yeah.
Unless you've done something like horrific or heroic, you know, like either Achilles or Alexander or Stalin.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so you never know. Right?
I do remember my dad. I don't know that I necessarily remember my dad more or less on Father's Day, but yeah, that's fair.
Did you guys celebrate Father's Day?
I'm sure we did. I can't say that I particularly remember what we did other than acknowledging the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my celebration of Father's Day was just, I did a FaceTime call with my kids. I mean, that was really it.
Oh, you did that today?
We did that today.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Okay.
That's more than I got a text. I got a text in like a 3.5 minute phone call.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're busy. And, you know, I feel like the fact that they don't want to spend a whole lot of time with us means that we've kind of done a good job.
That might be some rationalization.
That's my story. I'm sticking with
it. I do think my kids generally do want to spend time with me. Although, I mean, sometimes it just feels like, you know, if I'm being honest,
mm-hmm.
it's like I could get a little more gratitude than I'm getting.
A little more gratitude.
It feels like it's just like, you know, you just can never really satisfy. It's hard.
No. They're like people that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
but they're not supposed to be like people. They're supposed to be subjects.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I know. Well, they're ungrateful subjects.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, yours are still in college.
Two of them are still in college.
So, I mean, there's going to be, it'll be a few years before they realize actually how much they owe their existence
to. I guess, like all of us, it goes up and down. It goes up and down, in and out.
No, it's just like silly little mundane things. Like, David, I remember not that long ago, and he's been living on his own now for a little more than coming on 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Oh man, laundry's a hassle." And he says, oh, man, like doing dishes and keeping the place clean and everything, and like cooking and shopping for yourself and like basically taking care of things that you took care of and, you know, paying bills and all that jazz. It's only when you do it yourself that you actually realize. I mean, otherwise it's just an abstraction. You, like the genuine, you know, and they're not even sacrifices. It's just what you do, right?
I experience some irony here in that the child of mine.
Yeah.
Who actually simultaneously spends the most time acknowledging that adulting is hard.
Yeah.
I hear that from them all the time.
Yeah.
Does not actually seem to connect that to
you.
That might that adulting might have been hard for me. But like that bridge of empathy has not really been crossed. But maybe that will happen.
Do you remember when you first heard that you were going to be a father? Do you remember where you were, what that felt like?
You know, I'll tell you a funny story, is that what I don't know that I necessarily remember exactly that moment, but I do remember being at Kaiser with Dr.
So you're in California.
Greenbaum. And he was really into Mexican wrestling. And I actually remember we spent a fair bit of the doctor's appointment talking about Mexican wrestlers. So that's actually kind of what I remember about that particular moment is I remember more about Mexican wrestling than I do about
the birth of your son or daughter.
No, then about like the notification about the
really?
Future birth of my daughter. My oldest kid is a girl.
Ah, interesting. I was in Ireland.
Okay.
And I got a phone call from California, and my wife called and said, in fact, that she was pregnant.
She knocked up.
Yeah, and I was like almost 100% sure it was me.
How long had it been since you had seen each other?
You know, like, you know, almost a year. No. It was within that window.
Parameters.
I mean, so and I was like alone in this, you know, old hotel in County Kerry in Ireland, and I went to the pub. I was just reeling. I just remember, like, oh, my God, we're going to do this. And then I kind of looked around, and you have this, like, panic, right? Did you get this panic? Maybe not, because you were thinking about Mexican wrestling. But, like, I had this panic. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, I'm completely unprepared. And then I sort of looked around at all the people around me who had had kids, and I was like, how hard could this be, you know?
I don't think I ever had that panic, because I think it was, to be honest, it was a little challenging for us to establish pregnancy. So I think when you do that and then it finally happens, you're like, okay, good. That probably experience for me happened more after having a kid. Like when, you know, you go through this, like the birth was really hard, and it was like, you know, 25 or 30 hours long, and you're just like completely pummeled. And then I don't think anything prepares you for how relentless it is afterwards.
It is relentless.
It's like I had to stop smoking weed. I mean, that was a really big sacrifice.
Wow. Yeah. That is a big sacrifice.
I really tried to keep it up. I remember when my daughter was small, I used to smoke weed every day. And then I would wait till kind of like the evening calmed down a little bit, and I would go down to the nearby park and smoke a bowl. And I did that for like maybe 3 weeks or a month. Maybe it only felt that long. I honestly don't even really remember. But
when you're high, it's hard to keep track of time.
Exactly. Yeah. I was just like, I'm too tired. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
It's too much.
So in LA, I went to the pub, and my buddy there, Johnny the Rock. John Foley, but he lived up by the Rocks. So they called him the Rocks. And he asked me, how's it going? And I told him, I was just like stunned, because he could tell there was something up. I was just like, I'm going to be a father. And like all of a sudden, I was part of a club, you know? It was really interesting. It was like part of the club up in the country in County Kerry in Ireland, in this remote village, and all of a sudden drinks started coming, guys patting me. And the next thing I know, I was in the delivery room, and you know, man, the kid came. You know?
I think there's probably a certain way that's changing because less people are having kids where that was sort of like when you entered the adult club.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's necessarily true anymore, but I feel like, excuse me, at that time that was kind of the case. I definitely remember a lot of that.
Yeah. And the funny thing I noticed about like having an infant and then a sort of a toddler in a foreign country.
Yeah.
And was that, okay, you're getting generational knowledge, right? It's not just the mother and the father, who are often actually quite young there, mm-hmm. you know, that having kids or, you know, the agricultural community. And you relied on, like, grandmother.
Yep.
You know, the grandmothers were instrumental, right, in, you know, sort of raising the first generation, you know, that, you know, the first few kids, you know, often some of the times a dozen.
I think for us, we probably have this in common that, and it's also not uncommon in the U.S., that neither one of us lived near our extended families when we had kids. So didn't really have that.
That was by choice. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, all right. So I got a bunch of, I'm going to play a song.
Okay.
Cause I got some songs for Father's Day. Right. And, I actually have a couple of cool poems, but, we will definitely come back and, you know, I like if you could think about a story that you remember from your dad when you were from your dad when you were little.
I'll tell you a story that told me that taught me so many lessons.
Oh, I can't wait! I can't wait. But we're going to have to wait because right now, this story interesting. Sort of, there's a couple of themes have emerged in the dad, father, papa songs that I put together for this show. And often there's something to be left to be desired about the dad thing. But
I've heard that
you have, yeah. So here we go.
His hat was his home, and when he died,
all he left.
what they say, that Papa never worked a day in his life.
And Mama, some bad talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching, talking about saving souls and all the time leeching. Dealing in debt and stealing in the name of the Lord. Mama just hold her head and say,
Papa was a rolling stone.
Papa was a Rolling Stone. My papa wasn't a Rolling Stone.
Not mine either.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah. There's a, setting the bar low with the Temptations in terms of.
Yeah, why'd you pick that song out of all the songs to start with on Father's Day? I mean, that's, it's like the anti-hero father.
Yeah. We're just you know, setting the parameters.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
I mean, just the words themselves, fathering and mothering, totally different, right?
Mm.
Right? Mothering, inherent in that word is sort of nurturing, and the fathering, you know.
What do you think is like the one or two adjectives that are implied by fathering?
Well, it's just purely biological reproduction, right?
Mm.
Right.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the animal husbandry, you're husbanding things, you know, that, but you know, you could be the father of a country, or, you know, the father of this or the father of that. But oh.
So you want to hear a story about my dad?
Yeah.
So I'll tell a story about my dad, and it's a little bit of like, it's not an ingest story. It really happened, but then I'll probably have to like say something nicer about my dad afterwards. So my father owned a dry cleaning store in Brooklyn on Flatbush Avenue, and once a week he would take the van and we'd do deliveries. And I would ride shotgun, and I would be the one who would carry the clothes into people's houses who we delivered to. I think this was on Thursdays that we did that. And somehow, I mean, my father wasn't the best driver. I mean, a lot of my experience with my father as a driver was when he was quite old, and at that time he definitely was a bad driver, a lot of people are. But in any event, my father made a left turn, and we got jackknifed by somebody. I'm sure he must have made the left turn when he shouldn't have. Maybe he thought he could make it. And the other car kind of hit the van, probably like on the passenger door where I was sitting.
Oh, wow.
And I hit my head on the windshield.
Oh.
Now, I don't even remember if I was wearing a seatbelt or not.
That was probably before it was legal.
It probably wouldn't have been something that you thought of as me. I'm sure that van did not have shoulder belts.
Right.
It probably had a waist belt. But in any event, so, you know, after like the accident happens, you know, and my dad's like, are you okay? And then, you know, the police come and ambulance comes. And my father's like, does your head hurt? And I say, no. I said, my head doesn't hurt. I'm okay. He's like,
did it?
He's like, no, it didn't. I wasn't lying to him. Uh-huh. But then he's like, when the ambulance people ask you if your head hurts, tell them your head hurts. Because if you tell them your head doesn't hurt, they're going to think that something is really wrong, and they're going to take you to the hospital. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
So I was I was like, okay. And, you know, yeah. So I told them, yeah, my head hurt a little bit. And they were like, okay, that's normal. And that was it. Like, right. We just kind of, I mean, the truck had to get towed. I don't think it was drivable at that point. So my mom must have come picked us up, but I never went to the hospital, which also you would never do right now.
Right.
To be fair to my dad, you know, my parents are both Holocaust survivors. Yeah. And, I mean, they were survivors. Like, they, like, that was how they thought about the world. Like,
no, you really have to have, like, an advanced theory of mind to get through that.
You right? have to, like, they're definitely always thinking about, like, the exit door and dealing with authority and mm-hmm. making sure that, like, the outcome, like, the idea that, like, I would get taken to the hospital was like a nervous one for my dad. So,
yeah. Huh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's yeah. Growing. I had a, yeah, my dad taught me a similar lesson in that, but, I grew up, we moved to Long Island from Brooklyn and, we were out in the, you know, Dix Hills area and, they were, you know, the farms were getting plowed under and houses were going up. And there were, you know, there were all of these beautiful mountains of dirt,
uh-huh.
right, as they were excavating the for the homes. And, and like, the soil out on Long Island was rich and loamy. So we'd go out there and have dirt bomb fights when I was, like, 4 years uh-huh. old, five. You know, we just throw dirt bombs, right? And we're running around having a great time. And
I don't even know what a dirt bomb is, to tell you the truth.
It's a clod of dirt that okay. you throw at somebody, and, you know, hopefully there's no rocks in it, and when it hits them, it explodes.
Wait, define a clod. What is
a clod? A clod is a clod. It's like a hunk, a chunk of dirt.
Is it wrapped it's like in rich, something, or you just,
no.
Or you just pick it
you
up
just
with
pick
your
up,
hand.
No, because the
it's
earth...
It's like a snowball
the
of
earth,
dirt.
The earth was exposed, right, because there are these mountains of dirt that they'd excavated for,
okay, so
for the houses.
Throwing
so we're just throwing
dirt
at yeah. my dad. Okay. But it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. It was a magic... It gets better.
I think your expectations were all low in Long Island, but okay.
No. Yeah. But the earth, so anyway, I remember I fell down one of the hills, but it was just soft and loamy. It was just fabulous soil for growing things, but they put houses on them instead. And I just, like, my face got really close to it, and it just smelled so good. Huh. The dirt smelled so wonderful. And you know when you're like 4 years old, 5 years old, and you have a notion... And you realize, you think, I bet nobody else has had this thought in the history of the world. I'm the first person to think this. I thought
maybe
that.
You were, but yeah.
No, I wasn't. I was like, I think I've just solved world hunger. Because this dirt smells so good that I think you could eat it.
Ah.
Right?
Smart.
Well, that's, I was
four. So did you
four.
Eat it?
No, I checked with my dad first. So I said, Dad, can you eat dirt? And he said, yes. So I took a big handful of dirt.
You wanted you to learn your own lesson?
I took a big handful of dirt, and I put it in my mouth, and I went, and I spat it out. I was like, ah. I said, Dad, you can't eat dirt. And he was laughing and laughing. And he goes, well, I guess I was wrong.
And that didn't affect your, like, lifetime trust for your dad?
Oh, no.
Interesting.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I knew there was a line that he wouldn't cross. My therapist, however, was kind of horrified with that story. I find it hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah, I did a thing like that with my son once. I mean, similar, but I know that, like, it actually really left a really negative thing with him. He'll probably be talking about this as a therapist. We were, for reasons that are unimportant, we were actually by a mine. For, like, where, like, precious stones are mined. It was actually really crazy.
How old
was I? 10, let's just say 10. I would have to calculate it. Probably. Anyway, we were standing at the edge of, like, a mine shaft, and I was holding him, but I kind of, like, fake, like, pushed him. And,
ooh.
Oof, no, that was, I thought that was funny at the time, but he remembered that, and not in a good way.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah, that was very bad. That was bad.
Yeah, I regret that.
Yeah. No, I once told David, it was a snow day, I remember, and he was, you know, it was sleeping. Like, you know, you get the phone call in the morning and or the night before and they cancel school, right? Yeah. And it was like, David, it was like 10:30, almost 11 o'clock in the morning, and he's still sleeping. And I was just like, I knock on his door and I said, David, they've rescinded the snow day. Right? So he just didn't understand how bureaucracies work at that point. And he goes, what? I was like, yeah. They canceled the snow day. You got to be in school by noon. He's like, what? He goes running around, blah, blah, blah. He's like, rah. And, you know, just total panic. And he goes, what? And he stopped for a second. And then as he's waking up and his brain is starting to come on, he goes, like, where did you hear this?
It's funny.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw it on the internet. I'm like, what? Yeah, it's on the internet. And he's like, you bleepity bleep bleep bleep. He just started
very
throwing.
Funny.
I was laughing. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, oh, here's a wonderful poem by Seamus Heaney.
Sounds Irish.
He is. He's very Irish. This is one of my favorite poems about fathers, and it's called Digging. I think you'll enjoy it.
Hi.
Digging. Between my finger and my thumb, the squat pen rests, snug as a gun. Under my window, a clean rasping sound, when the spade sinks into gravelly ground. My father digging. I look down till his straining rump among the flower beds bends low, comes up 20 years away, stooping in rhythm through potato drills where he was digging. The coarse boot nestled on the lug. The shaft against the inside knee was levered firmly. He rooted out tall tops, buried the bright edge deep to scatter new potatoes that we picked, loving their cool hardness in our hands. By God, the old man could handle a spade, just like his old man. My grandfather cut more turf in a day than any other man on Toner's Bog. Once I carried him milk in a bottle, corked sloppily with paper. He straightened up to drink it, then fell to right away, nicking and slicing neatly, heaving sods over his shoulder, going down and down for the good turf, digging. The cold smell of potato mould, the squelch and slap of soggy peat, the curt cuts of an edge through living roots awaken in my head. But I've no spade to follow men like them. Between my finger and my thumb, the squat pen rests. I'll dig with it.
There we go.
New potatoes.
Well, you know, digging and learning from watching, learning from, yeah. You know, learning from doing. you know, There was a wig thief in my neighborhood not too long ago.
In your current neighborhood?
Yeah, in my current neighborhood. Well, the police are combing the area to find him.
Is there a wig store, or they just steal from people who are wearing wigs?
No. He just stole wigs, but the police are combing the area to find him.
Wait, how many wigs were stolen?
No, there's
not. Is this a joke?
This is dad. These are dad jokes now.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Get it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
No, I should have given you the dad joke signal.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't get the cue on.
No,
that. Sorry about that. A little thing.
You know, I went to the Mets game the other day, and I was like in the outfield. I was watching a ball game, and I noticed that the baseball was getting closer and closer and closer, and I was like wondering why, and then it hit me.
Oof. How many more?
You know, we have a mutual friend.
We do?
Yeah, we do. Who was addicted to the Hokey Pokey. You remember that?
I remember the Hokey Pokey.
Yeah, no, he was addicted to it, but he turned himself around.
Oh, my God.
All right, here, you probably know this one. Why doesn't it hurt if someone throws a can of Coke at your head?
I don't know, actually.
Well, it's a soft drink.
Yeah, I could have got that one.
Yeah,
that
you could have gotten
sad.
That one.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. I've developed a fear of escalators. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I take steps to avoid them.
Oof. All right, one more. Now that
okay,
it's gone.
Oh yeah, no, that was all right. I thought. Oh man, these are so bad. These are so bad.
It's got real ones.
No,
than,
I know.
It's better than listening to you
moan
while trying to decide right, which one to read.
What did one eye say to the other?
Hi.
Between us, something smells.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. here we go. We're gonna cue up another song. This is a classic. A classic. It's a little, a lot of dad songs, you know, the dads who are actually, you know, not Rolling Stones and not Absent.
Oh, is this going to be a positive dad song?
This is going to be a positive dad song. This is going to be...
another disappointing dad song? Are dads disappointing more than moms? They probably are.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's a patriarchy. You know, I think that's what I think. Well, here's a fun little quick one, a really interesting cover of something that was popular when we were in high school.
Papa, I know you're going to be upset, 'cause I was always your little girl, but you should know by now. Always taught me right from wrong. I need your help, Daddy. Please be strong. I may be young at heart, but I know what I'm saying. The one you warned me all about, the one you said I could do without, we're in an awful mess, and I don't.
Yeah, that's it. That's a short one. That was from Glee. Did you ever watch that show, Glee?
I mean, I think I watched it once or twice. Yeah. I can't really say that it was like...
But they did some interesting covers there. There's just some interesting covers there. But no, this was the one that I initially... you want to hear a song about just another absent father?
Oh, sure.
Here we go. This one I remember when I was a little kid. Made me cry.
The day he came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know, I'm gonna be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue. I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And then he walked away. But his smile never dimmed and said, I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon.
the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Didn't you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. Since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time there.
I saw Harry Chapin once. I saw him in concert.
No way.
In Vermont, yeah.
Wow. Well, you must have been young.
I was young.
Wow. Yeah, because he died pretty soon after this came out.
Yeah, I feel like I couldn't have been much older than like 9 or so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I remember being... He got killed. He was in a car accident on the Long Island Expressway.
Yeah, it's a really treacly song.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's
I mean, it does, like, it's like all those things. It's like those, like, Hollywood movies that, like, make you cry even though you're like, this is so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like that.
Yeah. No. It's just kind of like, like being a dad. It's just so stupid, but, yeah, you know, you got to make you cry. But, so, actually, I have a story I remember of your dad.
Oh, my God.
You remember this one?
I don't know.
I remember it was at your wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
is it okay if I tell that one?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And, you know, it was a wonderful wedding. It was a traditional, you know, it was a Jewish wedding with the chair and everything. And
circumcision. I'm joking. Go on.
I was in, actually, I mean, close enough, right? I was in the men's room, and then your dad was there.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I introduced myself, because I didn't know him, you know. I'd met you, you know, after you moved to California. I said, you know, and I started, you know, this is before I knew you well, but I started, like, saying nice things about you.
Oh,
yeah.
That was the beginning and end of that. Yes, please continue.
And, you know, I said, you know, what a good job he did and blah, 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 and everything like that. And then he tells me, and he's going to share with me. I'm like, oh, we're going to have a moment in the men's room with Eric's dad, you know. And he goes, when Eric was like, I think you were 15 or 16 years old, you know, and he went on a trip, and I gave him a credit card. And he went and he did it, and he came back, and he never used the credit card.
That was very responsible.
And he was like, I'm like thinking to myself, I get you, I totally get you. Like,
it's also because in my family, any kind of loan had high interest, and I don't mean like, I actually don't mean monetary interest. I mean emotional interest.
No. Yeah. Well, the emotional interest accrues regardless. You know,
it accrues more when you actually use the credit card. But yeah, that's good. That's very sweet. I mean, I can't decide if it's like sweet or I guess it's, yeah. I mean, that's what he thought about.
Totally. Yeah, you know, you were good. He could trust you. Yeah. He was like, that was a big thing, and I think that's an important. I think that's an important step. I think every parent, you know,
with money, he could trust me.
He could trust you with money. Yeah. Well, but after that, everything else is just kind of like, you know, all right.
Now, I never met your dad, but I know that you were also really close with your dad.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
you
yeah.
really loved your dad
oh, yeah,
a lot.
Of course,
he was a very important person
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, no, he was. He was a nut. He was a complete yeah. nut, you know, yeah. Hilarious. It's funny, you have these memories. I had these memories of, you know, when I was little. And, like, I loved nothing more when I was little than to, like, spend an afternoon with my dad, you know. Because he was just, like, he just had a really interesting mind. And, yeah. and even going to the doctors, like the pediatrician, which I was sick a lot as a kid, you know. And just sitting in the waiting room. And he took out a quarter. Right. And he said, okay, between here and the wall, go halfway, put the quarter. And I did. He goes, okay, now between that point and the wall, put yeah. a quarter. And I think I was like nine years old. He taught me Zeno's paradox,
yeah, yeah.
you know, when
yeah,
I was
yeah.
9 years old. Yeah. And he was just endlessly entertaining, yeah. just him in a room, you know. Yeah,
that's cool.
He had a very difficult time with adults, you know, but.
I mean, I was kind of the same way. I remember when my kids were growing up, I actually always enjoyed being around kids more.
Oh, totally, yeah. totally. I mean, you realize that you can completely, like.
Adults are so stuffy.
Stuffy?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Just like, kids are always like, they're always playful. They always like have imagination. Like adults are like. All talking about like real estate.
Yeah. No, you know, no kids are, they're a joy. They're a blessing. They're a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
You know, they're a pain in the butt sometimes. You never stop worrying about them. Yeah. But, and they're, you know, they're never grateful. They never, yeah. they, you know, the emotional interest that you have passed on to them from your own parents continues to accrue.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Here's a. I'm going to throw in another poem by Robert Hayden. You familiar with him?
Oh yeah, I definitely am.
Okay, so this is the classic of.
What's the name?
It's called "Those Winter Sundays,"
uh-huh.
And I play this every Father's Day. But it's. I always get something new out of it. So here's "Those Winter Sundays" by Robert Hayden.
Sundays, too, my father got up early and put his clothes on in the blue-black cold. Then, with cracked hands that ached from labor in the weekday weather, made bank fires blaze. No one ever thanked him. I'd wake and hear the cold splintering breaking. When the rooms were warm, he'd call. And slowly I would rise and dress, fearing the chronic angers of that house. Speaking indifferently to him who had driven out the cold and polished my good shoes as well. What did I know? What did I know of love's austere and lonely offices?
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. How can I try to explain? When I do, he turns away again. It
it's always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. Change, just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree. But it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
Oh, yeah. There's another classic. Dad telling kid what to do.
You can only follow Harry Chapin with Cat Stevens.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to go?
No, the two sides of the same coin.
What would be next? What's next?
Well, I mean, I was gonna say, I know I personally, I feel like it's part of my job.
Yes.
To give advice to my son that he just ignores.
I mean, there's probably some percentage of that that is either not ignored or remembered later.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. I'm optimistic about that.
You're optimistic about that?
Yeah. It's very frustrating in real time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking your son. I'm assuming that this is a reasonably universal experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like your kids get to be old enough that they're adults. It's almost even harder. It's actually almost even harder because you feel like you should be having adult conversations, but they have all of this baggage and pattern of just being a parent-child relationship.
It's
very challenging. Yeah.
Well, you never really had a chance to know your own grandparents. So
I literally never knew my grandparents. They died long before I was born.
Yeah. But I remember watching the relationship between my dad and his parents.
Uh-huh.
And there's just something to that just kind of always it just stays the same, you know, no matter how.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh wow, and like, why do you treat, you know, like grandma like this, you know, who or why do you react this way when she's just doing this? And you know, like now you look back and I think, oh yeah, well of course there's like a whole there's a whole lifestyle. Oh, here's one. You know why your parents are so good at pushing your buttons?
Is this a dad joke?
Nah, not really.
Why?
It's because they're the ones that installed them.
That's true.
Yeah.
True. Yep. Facts.
Facts.
As the Gen Zers say.
I don't like this language that the kids are talking.
I love that people invent language. I think it's the best. You're just mad that you can't understand it, but that's half of the reason for it.
It's not that I don't understand it. It's just so obvious.
Oh, that's no. That's like resentful and condescending.
Yeah. I mean,
that's low key. That's low key condescending.
It's condescending. No, no, it's straight up condescending.
That's low key. Maybe you're saying it's high key condescending.
No, no, no. I think it is. It is like just right middle brow condescending.
I know, but you're missing. I'm talking to you in Gen Z lingo, and see, you're missing it. So
I'm choosing to ignore it. I'm not going to dignify it with responding. Responding that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to riz here.
There you go. You see, well, if you want to talk to people, you have to meet them where they are, right?
Yeah, I know it. I know it. I know it.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got here. Proud moments as a papa. What are some proud moments you've had as a dad?
It's a good question. I wish I had thought about that before. I'm going to divide this into two categories.
Okay.
I mean, there's the obvious moments,
right,
which is like things like graduations and accomplishments. And for all of my occasional frustration with my kids are actually all really hard workers.
Mm-hmm.
They're really like serious. They're really directed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all quite empathetic, and yeah, I appreciate both of those things, and they're all really different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm proud of all those things.
Yeah.
How about you?
That's cool. I'm proud that my kid's kind of working hard, taking a chance and doing something that is not going to lead to any sort of meaningful work.
In a long time.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny, like graduations and stuff. And I was surprised at how proud I was at those moments.
We don't do enough ceremonies in this culture in general. At least if you're like not a religious person, most of us are not, or secular, but our secular society hasn't really kind of caught up on that. But except graduation being one of those like marking ceremonies.
I agree. I think that's why schools and children are so important to a community, because without it,
children are the future.
Their children are our future, right?
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
My dad actually never went to any of my graduations.
Huh.
Yeah.
I only went to my graduations because of my dad. I actually didn't go to my undergrad graduation, but I only went to my graduate school graduation because my father wanted to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was still mad at me about college.
Why was he mad at you about college?
Because I didn't go to my graduation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, my dad was vehemently against all ceremonies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which was problematic at times.
Yeah.
Just... he's almost like a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, I understand.
In that way.
Yeah, like, I don't mention graduation in the Bible. I understand.
I'm going to play a tune by a very talented singer-songwriter who had his struggles, but he's also the son of another very talented singer-songwriter who also had his struggles. And this is tangentially related to Father's Day because the word father is in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good enough for me.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but it's kind of a bouncy tune. It's kind of a bouncy tune if the subject matter is a bit dark. Justin Townsend.
I'm going uptown to the Harlem River to drown. Dirty water gonna cover me over. I'm not gonna make a sound. I'm on a roll, mama, I gotta go. Gotta get there while I still can. Troubled days are behind me now, and I know they're gonna let me in. You see me walking up the empty yard and singing and clapping my hands. Tell my mama I love you, tell my father I tried. Give my money to my baby this man. So I'm going uptown to the Harlem River to drown.
his troubles, bury him whole, even though he knows what's at stake. So I'm taking no chances, carrying over while I'm still good in his grace. Then I'm no fool, although I know the difference between tempting and choosing my fate. So Lord, I'm going uptown to the Harlem River to drown. Dirty water gonna cover me over.
Justin Townes Earl, the son of Steve Earl, another fabulous songwriter. Tragic, short life, but...
Wait, he's dead?
Justin Townes Earl is.
How old was he when he died?
Oh, God, he couldn't have been... He was in his 30s. Like, it was... He had some issues.
Oh, it's very sad.
Yeah. I think he
it's like in the cave.
Nick Cave?
Nick Cave also lost, I think, multiple children.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough being the son of, you know, we say son. I think it's a different dynamic, son, father, daughter, father, you know, and same with mother, son, mother, daughter, mother. Very much a... I mean, I think Freud was kind of off base with the Oedipal thing, but it's hard for a boy to like not measure himself against
true
a father.
Facts. You know, facts.
I don't know if it's a fact. It's an opinion. Anyway, we'll go out with something a little energetic,
okay.
You know, for the Happy Father's Day to you. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
Happy Dad's Day,
everybody who's out there. Thanks for coming on. All right, here we go. I think James Brown's going to have the final word on Papa's.